Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com. For more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle, live here on a Wednesday on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. As always, it is Ben Stevens, myself, and Joe Lisi here with you in the saddle for this next hour, taking you up until 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisi, how are you on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm amped up, right? This is it. The off season. This is where I start to feel out the pretenders from the contenders in every conference. But conferences, Ben, right? I just said it. Particularly the SEC, the Big 12, mightn't we not have championships in or over the horizon in the next couple of months? I can't wait to see the landscape of college football and see how this plays out, because the rumor mill has us chomping at the bit.
So much is changing, it seems, right now in the college football landscape with NIL, with the transfer portal opening up doors. We're getting so many updates throughout this offseason. But as it pertains to the actual games themselves, the scheduling of the games, and the overall results in conferences, some news earlier this week from the NCAA Football Oversight Committee. They have recommended removing the requirements for an FBS conference to have a championship game. It's expected to pass the D1 Council later this summer. This coming from a report from Chris Vanini, a senior writer for The Athletic, and that'll open the door for conferences to scrap divisions, make new schedule formats, or determine their conference champion however they see fit. One important distinction here, Lisi, it doesn't mean that conference championship games are going to come to an end entirely. It's just the requirement that an FBS conference has to have a championship game. It could just be a changing of the schedule format to decide their conference champion or decide the participants in a conference championship game, however that league sees fit.
Well, yeah, and let's take two particular conferences to your point, the SEC and the Big Ten. Can you imagine if we have basically in the SEC championship game an Alabama-LSU or an Alabama-Texas A&M or even an Alabama-Auburn? That's the way the landscape basically is headed. That's what we're headed for, just the way the Big 12, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Baylor and Oak State last year, right? So that's the way it might look. I don't know if I'm a fan of that. I got to be honest with you. I like both divisions in respective conferences. I like to see teams jockey for position throughout the regular season. Not only that, but what about the rivalries, right? If you're going to have the potential for these teams to meet up in a championship type of format, that takes away from the regular season rivalries that we love. Can you imagine Michigan, Ohio State for the Big Ten championship? That game at the end of the regular season doesn't hold as much weight.
And it would be interesting, though, Joe, to see what that rivalry game would mean. And I think that most conferences, having some wherewithal of the historical context of their conference, of the geographical rivalry context of their conference, would keep rivalry games even if it meant no divisions. So, for instance, you're not going to have Wisconsin and Minnesota not play each other for the Axe just if they are not in a Big Ten West, or if the Big Ten doesn't have conferences or divisions, I should say, say, in that respect. They'll still play each other, but what significance might that mean if it's not between two divisional opponents? I think it opens the door, though, Lisi, for a little bit more competition across the conference in a little bit more of an equal way, because let's take the Big Ten, for instance. My conference, Big Ten Ben, is what I am known as in certain portions of the country. And it's interesting, Joe, because we think of conference title games as something so matter of fact, but the first time the Big Ten Conference played a championship game was back in 2011 when we had the legends and the leaders in those two divisions, and then it opened up with the East and the West in 2014. So there's only been 8 conference championship games in the Big Ten that have featured an East and a West when we've had those two respective divisions. And in all 8, Joe Lisi, the East Division has won the Big Ten Conference Championship. So it has been very skewed toward the East, representing that conference, the Big Ten in this case, with a conference title. So it might open things up, because oftentimes in the East, you have Ohio State, who is the powerhouse of the Big Ten, reigning supreme over the conference. But many years, Joe, it's Penn State, Michigan State, nabbing at the Buckeyes' heels for the second-best team within the Big Ten overall, but the beneficiaries are in the West, where teams like Wisconsin and Iowa, maybe not with as good of an overall record as Michigan or Michigan State or Penn State, trying to get Ohio State, get that bid to the conference championship game.
Yeah, that's a great point. It might bring parity to the Power Five, but it might also bring, I want to say, a strong foundation to the Group of Five, right? Teams like Cincinnati, they knocked around Houston last year in terms of the championship game. They might just be the front runners no matter what. When you have a good team in a Group of Five, more times than not, the cream rises to the top. So maybe the Group of Five teams close the gap a little bit in terms of the Power Five teams, and we might see some other teams maybe crack the college football playoff that maybe potentially were on the outside looking in recent years.
And it's a great point by you, Lisi, because although we talk about divisions, not every conference has a division, either in the Group of Five level or in the Power Five conferences. Like the Big 12 doesn't have a Big 12 South versus a Big 12 North. It's just the two best teams at the end of the regular season facing off for a conference championship game. So much to discuss here as it pertains to the changing and ever-evolving landscape in college football. We're just getting rolling here on Football Full Circle on Wednesday, live on Sports Grid Radio. Come back and join us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are a-moving on a Wednesday here on Football Full Circle, live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens, and things are a-moving in the college football world right now, Lisi, throughout this offseason. One of the latest updates early this week, as reported by Chris Vanini of The Athletic and many others in the college football space, the NCAA Oversight Committee that overlooks college football, because don't forget, at the FBS level, the NCAA doesn't really have control over deciding the champion. That comes from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. However, the Oversight Committee has recommended removing the requirements for an FBS conference to have a championship game. It's expected to pass the D1 Council later this month. That'll open the door for conferences to scrap divisions and make new schedule formats. So what does that mean? Are we done with conference championship games? I don't think so. I just believe the requirement to have a conference champion decided through that championship tilt will be a little bit different. Championship games, Lisi, in every conference is a huge moneymaker that first weekend of December. Traveling fan bases into one locale at a big stadium for two of the best in your conference, the TV rights that are involved with everything in the significance of those championship games. I don't think we're getting rid of championship games entirely, just deciding how we get there might look a little different.
Yeah, without a doubt. You got me all pumped up. I jumped in a little early there.
It's okay, Lisi. Let it flow.
You know what it does, though, Ben? Let's take a team like Alabama, right? We see Alabama play Georgia in the regular season. We saw that a couple of seasons ago in terms of Tuscaloosa. We saw them schedule Florida, but then they won't play Florida for like a number of years. Hopefully, this changes the complexity of how these teams and conferences do schedule for some of the top teams, because I would like to see Alabama, let's say, not only play Tennessee, but play Florida on a consistent basis. I'd rather watch that type of game as opposed to Alabama beating up in terms of Elijah Drinkwitz in Missouri every year, right? So the crossover games from the West to the East in respect to the SEC is what I really want to see. Let's get these harder teams to schedule on Alabama's schedule, and let's see if they can navigate through each and every year. That's not a knock on Nick Saban. More times than not, they're going to get there, right? But it's still a harder road as opposed to what we have in terms of the crossover games now, not just in the SEC, but in the Big Ten as well. And that's what I think has maybe legs moving on to really getting this vote approved, because it's not just the championship games. It's how the road is changed for some of these top teams. Maybe they don't get there each and every year.
That's the point, Lisey. Well said by you and well spelled out for everybody here on FFC. We're going to have conference championship games. Again, the money and the TV rights that go with those conference title tilts is way too much to just give up for each and every league every year. It's how we decide the participants for that conference championship game. We were focusing on the Big Ten in our first segment, Lisey. As we said, since the conference went to East and West in terms of the two divisions in the Big Ten Conference, there have been eight Big Ten Conference championship games in football. All eight of the winners have hailed from the East, a big miss on my part, have hailed from the East. All eight Big Ten title games in football, all eight conference champions from the Big Ten East Division. Within that list, Ohio State has won it five of the eight times. But let's go back to last year, Lisey, right, and break this down even more singularly with specific records. The two best records in terms of conference play within the Big Ten last year were both from the East Division, in Michigan and Ohio State. Of course, Ohio State's one loss in Big Ten play was that final game of the regular season against Michigan. Would we look forward to seeing that matchup the next Saturday in a conference championship game, given the historic perspective of the Wolverines finally getting one, the first one in the Jim Harbaugh tenure? Maybe that leaves a little bit to be desired. But as you look at the records last year, Michigan and Ohio State, the best at 8-1 overall in the Big Ten. Then Michigan State and Iowa had the second best conference records, both at 7-2. Depending on the tiebreakers there, we're not entirely sure how 3-4 stack out, but it goes to show you that three of the four best records overall in the Big Ten last year, Lisey, came out of the East Division. So maybe you just take the two best teams in your conference overall as we scrap divisions entirely and place them against each other in the Big Ten championship game or whatever conference we're discussing.
Right, and you know what the argument is? Look at the Big 12 championship game between Baylor and Oklahoma State. Inches. That's what decided the Big 12 championship. Top two teams, they met in the regular season. Oklahoma State got a 10-point victory in Stillwater. The rematch, right, goes right down to a fourth down conversion in which Baylor prevails. And you know what? You can make the argument last year that Baylor was hitting on all cylinders. They had won five straight games at the end of the regular season against opponents with a combined overall winning percentage of 727%. Think about some of the teams that Baylor knocked off, right? Oklahoma. Yeah. They knocked off Oklahoma State, two of the top teams in the conference, and now they win a Big 12 championship. That might open the door to have the committee say, you know what? This is one of the best teams in the country and in the nation, and if we have an argument about the top four, maybe we can sneak them into the college football playoff over a team like Cincinnati. And that's not a knock on undefeated Des Ritter and Cincinnati last year, but Baylor was playing as good as anybody, and they demolished Ole Miss, even though Matt Corral got hurt. You can make that argument with this new current format to where maybe teams say, hey, we have second life. We lose an early regular season game. We can get back in the mix as long as we win our respective championship game.
And the Big 12 is a perfect example of this on the Power 5 level. The Big 12 doesn't have divisions. If you're scrolling the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and looking for divisional odds, you're not going to see it. You'll see conference odds, who wins that conference championship when all is said and done in early December. And the Big 12 was a flying example of that last year, Joe, because Bedlam between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State was virtually a playoff game for the CFP and virtually a playoff game to decide the last participant in the Big 12 title game that led to the Cowboys getting there. And then Oklahoma State was inches away, not just from winning the conference championship game, but as Lisi alluded to, potentially knocking Cincinnati out of the four in the college football playoff. And as we talk about conference championships, Joe, maybe the most lopsided we have seen here in recent memory since 2015 is the ACC, because Clemson has dominated the Atlantic Division over the last couple of years. Just last year was the first year that Clemson hasn't won the Atlantic since 2015. Wake Forest doing the honors in 2021. Of course, the ACC did not have divisions in that weird 2020 college football campaign decided by win percentage in conference. But from 2015, Joe, until 2019, five seasons there, Clemson won the Atlantic, represented the Atlantic in the ACC championship game, and then won the conference title game as well. So the ACC has been very lopsided, where if you allowed the two best teams to face each other, like we saw in 2020 in that game between Clemson and Notre Dame, maybe it makes it a little bit more ubiquitous across the conference, and you'll have it be a little bit more opened up.
Yep, without a doubt. And it's all about parity, right? We don't want to see the same four teams in terms of the college football playoff. We had a little bit of a taste last year with Michigan and Cincinnati, but we don't want to see Alabama just roll to the West and get to the SEC championship, right, and win year after year after year. And same thing now with the other conferences as well, especially Clemson. When you look at the top to bottom, right, from where Clemson in the top maybe two or three teams are compared to everybody else. You want to take Duke and some of the bottom feeders as well. It's no comparison. So at the end of the day, it's about bringing competitiveness back to the conferences and maybe giving those other teams maybe ranked 15 to 25, an outside chance to win a championship.
And it's also a decider of who plays in the conference championship. Is it the top two teams? And then how do they get there? Because the scheduling formats could change. That's up for discussion this week at the ACC meetings as it pertains to their football schedule. We'll detail that next here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So many moving parts right now in the college football world, and we continue to break down what it all means with a look at the odds later in this show as well, live here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi with you, and as we have discussed, there might be a time here very soon when conference championship games look different. The requirement for FBS conferences to have a conference title game might be out the window in a very short amount of time, Joe, which would allow conferences more flexibility in how they schedule and how they decide who will meet ultimately in that conference championship game. That is something that, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN and sources telling him, will be a focus of the ACC meetings this week. Under discussion will be the future of scheduling, including the potential to eliminate divisions as early as 2023. That means next season. One model being discussed is each football program having three permanent opponents, but not necessarily pods of three, the other five programs rotating on and off the schedule every other year. What do you make of that scheduling format and model, potentially, Joe, for the ACC, maybe to be followed by other conferences?
I like it with the three common opponents, but as long as those are rivalries, right? They have
Absolutely.
To maintain the rivalries. I need to see Alabama, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, and whatever other rivalries you can think of, especially in the SEC and the ACC as well. And we need to see those games in the Big Ten and others. So as long as they do that, I don't have a problem with it. I think another factor, too, that we need to get into is the out-of-conference games. And it really is a double-edged sword in the sense of, Ben, you know, the smaller teams from the Mid-American Conference and others, they get paid a boatload of money. But, you know, how many times could we see the SEC conference schedule FCS opponents? You know, the Big Ten doesn't really do that. You know, SEC does. And granted, I understand why. They come right out of the gate hitting on all cylinders with top 25 battles. But we need more balance and stability in that regard. So the ACC's model, I have no problem with it. I am curious to see how it does affect the conference odds if, in fact, this does get, you know, approved. But at the end of the day, I think it's I still think this is good for college football. The right. downside is what you and I just talked about in the break in regards to the Big Ten. You have that marquee regular season finale in Ann Arbor. Michigan steps up. They beat Ohio State for the third time of the decade, right? But outside of that, under the current format that they want to approve, they would have to play again in the Big Ten championship game, and that can neutralize what we're trying to achieve, right, in terms of getting more parity and some of the teams that maybe can challenge some of the big boys.
Absolutely so, Joe. The upside is rather simple when you think about it. The two best teams, regardless, because divisions are now out of the picture, the two best teams in a conference each and every year playing each other for the ultimate prize, a conference championship. It seems pretty matter of fact. It's not the beneficiary of one division being a little bit less talented or weaker than the other, and they get a spot when there were three other better teams in the other division just based on the geography of a given league. It's not the beneficiary of Clemson winning the Atlantic five straight years and then winning the title game in each of those five consecutive seasons. It's not the beneficiary of the Big Ten East winning the Big Ten championship games. All 8 years, we have seen it played in the current East versus West format. But there is one downside that Joe just brought up. How do we then value conference championships against a potential regular season game that has a ton of meaning as well? Because let's present the scenario that Joe just laid out. Michigan pulled off the upset at home last year in Ann Arbor, more than a touchdown underdog against Ohio State. It was the first time in the Jim Harbaugh tenure that Michigan had beaten their bitter rivals, the Ohio State Buckeyes. But based on the records, Joe, both teams finished 8-1 in Big Ten conference play. If we got rid of the East and West divisions, those were the two best records in the Big Ten conference last year. They would have met the very next Saturday in Indianapolis in the Big Ten conference championship game. So what would have meant more? The historic win in front of the Big House crowd of over 100,000 for the Michigan Wolverines, or if Ohio State responded 7 days later and hammered the Wolverines? Who would have earned the Big Ten spot in the college football playoff? What value would we place on the regular season versus the conference championship game? Yes, it is a very specific scenario, but we almost had the same thing in the Big 12, Joe, with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State based on how the Big 12 standings worked out last year. It's something we've seen before in the Big 12 because they do not have divisions. So what do we place the value on? A conference championship game in the head-to-head matchup, or a potentially historic and meaningful regular season victory?
Oh, tough. That's a tough one. I would lean championship game, but you know what? I'm thinking through the scenario right now of last year. I think if that would have played out and Ohio State loses like they did and then knocked off Michigan in the Big Ten championship, I think the committee would have had an argument for Baylor. And isn't that what we want? The debate is what fuels the sport, Ben, right? You could have made an outside argument that Baylor would have gotten the inside edge over potentially Ohio State and Michigan in that particular scenario.
It's a very interesting point, Joe, right? Might they eliminate themselves? Might it be a net negative for the Big Ten in that scenario if they split those two meetings in back-to-back weeks, opening up the door for another conference, for another team to get a spot at the table for a college football playoff? Maybe that's the other benefit of it, that if Michigan can't take care of business two straight weeks, then maybe they don't deserve a shot at the CFP. But then again, it's hard to beat the same exact team in a seven-day span twice. Again, these are all big what-ifs and hypotheticals for something that still is hypothetical at this moment, but this seems where it is growing. And again, as it pertains to scheduling, which the ACC will take under consideration this week, if you're going to have permanent opponents of any number, one, two, or three, each and every season within your conference, they better darn be rivalries. And I think, Joe, for the most part, the conferences would have the wherewithal to know that needs to happen. That in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan are going to play each other every year. Ohio State and Penn State are going to play each other every year. You can figure out the third opponent, if you will, the Big Ten, the only Power 5 conference that plays nine conference games. But that could be the same thing in the ACC. Clemson better play whoever their rival is in the ACC, whoever you want to dignify. But North Carolina better be meeting up against Wake Forest, and North Carolina better be playing Duke each and every year. And in the SEC, you better see Georgia and Florida in the world's largest cocktail party. You better see Georgia and Tennessee each and every year. But you might open the window there, Joe, for Georgia and Alabama to play every year. The two best teams, it seems, as of right now, in its current construction, the two best teams in the SEC. We would want to see that in the regular season, not just wait for the potential of a matchup in the conference championship game to get rid of that cross-divisional aspect.
And what we like to see is a gauntlet of a schedule. Can Alabama, can any team in the top 25 handle it, right? Imagine Alabama facing off against the top-ranked Georgia Bulldogs, then going on the road again to the Swamp to face Anthony Richardson and the Gators, then going on the road to maybe Baton Rouge and LSU, then facing Texas A&M. Forget Western Kentucky. Forget Group of Five teams. That's what we want to see, right? We want to see, can you handle the pressure each and every week? And are you still the top dog after that? That's what makes college football special from a scheduling perspective. So you know what? You're starting to get me to buy in, Ben. FanDuel has week one lines up already. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm salivating for the college football season this year.
You look at those week one lines, and they are available. Nebraska and Northwestern, a Big Ten West divisional game to open up the year in Dublin. Week zero at Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. Nebraska booked as nearly a double-digit favorite, laying 9.5 points right now. West Virginia in Pittsburgh is out there. A non-conference game. Penn State and Purdue open their season with a conference matchup. Penn State right now, only a 3-point field goal favorite against the Boilermakers. These lines are available. And maybe to echo this point, Joe, about divisions and conferences and what the landscape might look like if we got rid of divisions, let's dive into the odds to show you how lopsided oftentimes these divisions can be. We told you about Alabama's dominance in the SEC West. Right now, Alabama is a minus 400 favorite, a minus 400 favorite to win this division this year. Might as well hand them an appearance, Joe, in the SEC championship game. If you think that's bad, go take a look at the SEC East, just one compartment above it. Georgia is minus 750. Minus 750 as an odds-on favorite to win the SEC East. So, yes, Joe, divisions can be very lopsided, leading us to potentially lopsided championship games in each and every conference.
We know that the top dogs are there, right? Alabama and Georgia recruit better than anybody. They get top five talent, especially in the interior, and they're going to be there. But you never know what could happen in terms of a college football Saturday. We've seen marquee upsets, 42-point underdogs win the ball game outright, a la Kavita Pritchard and Stanford a few years ago. Well, 12 years ago, to be exact. And then Howard knock off UNLV, and even Terry Bowden knocking off Malik Willis as a 32-and-a-half-point dog. That's what makes college football awesome, babe. I can't wait.
Absolutely so. And again, it's all about the idea of these divisions being a little bit lopsided and what that means then for a conference championship game between these two divisions. But overall, in the conference odds in the SEC, yes, it seems that Alabama and Georgia will meet up in a conference title game again, but Alabama's minus 110, Georgia's plus 135. If they are clearly a step above the rest of the conference, we want to see the two best teams play every year in every conference championship game across the country. Stay with us here on Football Full Circle. We're back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Channel 159. It's a Wednesday, May 11th, early on in the month of May. Still about 3 months, give or change, away from the start of the 2022 college football campaign. But lines are up for week zero. And week one, the Thursday games in week one, the Saturday marquee matchups in week number one as well. And Joe, we are discussing all day long here on FFC the potential for a big change in college football to get rid of divisions within conferences, changing our scheduling formats, and how we potentially decide a conference champion. And again, we're looking at the odds this year when divisions are still very much in place and will be there for the 2022 season and what it all might look like in this hypothetical universe. Because as we said, Lisi, we want to see the two best teams play each other each and every year to decide a conference championship game, honestly, regardless of divisions, as long as we keep those rivalry games intact. We looked at the SEC just a couple of moments ago. Now let's go to the Pac-12, where there's the South and the North Division. It's been a little bit more give or take in the Pac-12 throughout the time we have had a conference championship game in that league, Joe. But as we look at the Pac-12 conference odds this year, there are three teams that really stand out to win a Pac-12 conference championship. Oregon is the favorite at plus 200 right now. USC, the second best odds at plus 300. And Utah rounding out the top three at 5-1. Who do you think, Joe, if you had to book it right now, is going to meet in the Pac-12 championship game? Or give me the two best teams as you see it.
Well, it's definitely Utah, in my opinion. I'm not a buyer of Dan Lanning in year number one, especially with Bo Nix at quarterback. I wouldn't bet Bo Nix with your money, Ben. That's how money he's cost me over
especially
his tenure.
Especially, right?
Come on. No way. So at the end of the day, I'm going with a physical team. So I would say Utah. And you know what? I think I would back Chip Kelly this year. I really think that he's turned the corner. I haven't been a huge Chip Kelly backer, but when we look at this conference from top to bottom, I don't have confidence in Herm Edwards and Arizona State. I have no confidence in Dan Lanning with Bo Nix in year number one. Certainly not Lincoln Riley in year number one. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go to a coach that's been there, believes in his quarterback, defense has stepped up. We saw UCLA smack LSU in the mouth at the start of the year. So you know what? I'm a buyer of UCLA this year. I'm going to go UCLA and Utah as the two top teams in the Pac-12.
Joe, I bet the Bayou Bengals only laying 2.5 in that opening game against UCLA with your money and my money, and it didn't work out too well. UCLA absolutely commanding the entirety of that football game against Coach O and the Tigers last year. But you just said Utah and UCLA. I think we're both in accordance on Utah and having a lot of value right now to win the Pac-12 championship and that conference title in just a few months in December of 2022. But Lisa, you said Utah and UCLA. both teams right now that play in the Pac-12 South Division, and if they are in fact the two best teams in the conference based on the divisional model at the moment, would not face each other, would not even be potentially able to face each other for a conference championship on the line, because as you look at the divisional odds, Oregon is in the Pac-12 North and a substantial favorite there at minus 195. As you look at the Pac-12 North Division, it is not nearly as stacked as that of the Pac-12 South that has USC, that has Utah, that has UCLA, and maybe even Arizona State if Herm Edwards can figure things out in Tempe. But that's the idea, Joe, to get rid of maybe what you could consider an archaic or arbitrary divisional model and right. just have the two best teams play each other, because I think the two best teams are going to come from the South. I'd actually go somewhere else in Southern California, maybe USC and Utah, but that would be the matchup I would want to see in the Pac-12 Conference Championship game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as we could see that. Now, you know, this doesn't really benefit the Pac-12 because they, under the current model, they've had the easiest road to potentially get to the college football playoff. And every single year, one of their top teams screws up. So under the current model, they've had the easier road, right, in terms of the lack of parity from top to bottom, right, in terms of at the start of the season to the end. Now, if we're going to face off, much like the Big 12 model, this, you know, some of these teams really need to step up now, because right. there is no argument anymore. If you're facing right. off a number one, number two, the Pac-12 better get their ass in gear, because they've been behind the eight ball against some of the other conferences. Under this current format, they might never get to the college football playoff.
This is me giving you a round of applause, Lisi. I hope that you can hear it over the airwaves, because that was so well said. And that is the upgrade. That is the upside for getting rid of the divisional model. Everybody is on an even playing field. Oregon cannot take advantage of a poor Washington program in a down year, or Cal looking like a shell of themselves, or Wazoo having all the issues, or Stanford not being able to put together any offense at all. Oregon has to beat everybody in the Pac-12 to have an opportunity to be in the Pac-12 championship game. When you go to the Big Ten, and Ohio State has to play Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State, who all might be potentially 10-win teams, they have to go through that gauntlet. Wisconsin, who might be playing Minnesota in a down year, or Iowa in a down year, or a 3-win Nebraska team, can't take advantage of a weaker division to get a spot in the conference championship game. It's an even playing field where you need a good conference record against everybody, and it opens up the scheduling format to maybe have more parity on a year-to-year basis, or give us a pods idea, Joe, where you mm-hmm. group teams in certain different pods and the pods play each other in certain different ways, and it becomes all this fun that we can see.
You know, we might have super conferences. This has been the talk for years now, Ben. You know, when I was a kid, in terms of the mid-80s, they were talking about super conferences basically taking over 20, 30 teams right. in a particular conference. This might be the first step. We heard about that during COVID, about potentially super conferences in terms of the scheduling perspective, right? What are SI directors going to do now when they can't schedule games 30 and 40 years out, right? We're setting up matches for LSU in 2033 and 2035. The SEC might not even be around by then at the rate we're going.
And the way that we are going is a super league even within the SEC. Where do you put Texas and Oklahoma in 2 or 3 years' time? Are they going to be one in the SEC West, one in the SEC East, cross-divisional opponents? Are you going to put them both in the West and move a team over to the East so you can maintain the Red River rivalry between the Longhorns and the Sooners? That's the very interesting thing if you keep divisions at the forefront. But this would allow, as we see, Joe, four maybe super conferences to form if we're not keeping the geographical ties of a division. It is the way we are trending at the FBS level, especially in Power 5 conferences, because as we said, Joe, at the FBS level, the champion is not decided by the NCAA. The NCAA does not put on the college football playoff. They do not crown a national champion like they do in men's and women's basketball, or put together the tournament tournament or the College World Series. The NCAA is not in charge of the CFP, so it allows a little bit more of a landscape in college football where the haves and the have-nots start to separate themselves even more. I think we're a while away from that, Lisi, but it's a fair point, especially if we get rid of the requirement of a conference championship game and open things up, on the FBS level.
I'll run the NCAA, right? Let's merge the Big 12 and SEC. Let's merge the Big 10 and Pac-12 with those ties to the Rose Bowl. And let's merge the ACC, ACAAC, and independents. And now you have three super conferences and then the group of five. Let's go with the Mountain West. What do you think about that, Ben?
Now tell me this, Commissioner Lisi. What are we doing there? Are we playing how many conference games within these super conferences? Do we still have non-conference availability early in the year? Two, three non-con games, nine conference games? What are you thinking from a scheduling format?
Two non-conference games have to be out of schedule to one of the other respective conferences. How about that? You have to go to the other two super conferences for the two out of conference games. The third one, we'll throw a third one in for those group of five so they can get their money. What do you think about that?
Listen, you got to get the money for the group of five. But a lot of people might say, well, Joe, then what does that do for the little guys? They got no shot doing anything if they're just playing amongst themselves. That's kind of what we have seen in college football, folks. There's the ideals that we might have and the standards we try to live by, but there's also the realistic opportunities of what we have seen, right? The first group of five team to ever make the college football playoff was last year in Cincinnati. It was a two-year process for the Bearcats, and even getting that fourth spot might not have been a potential thing to happen unless Oklahoma State comes up a couple inches short in the Big 12 championship game. So you could have a group of five champion versus a Super League Power Five champion, if you will, and maybe they play each other, or we just have two championships at the FBS level in college football, and we're okay with that because that's basically the format that we're in right now. When you look at all the realistic things, Lisi, that happen on college football, you can peel back the curtain sometimes and see how things might change.
I can't wait. It's only going to get better, I believe, because this talk of knocking down the boundaries and barriers opens up the opportunity for Cinderella, not just in the respective conferences, but the group of five. So, again, we don't know which way we're going to go. Only time will tell, but this is what it's all about, Ben. The potential to have maybe a group of 12 to 15 legitimate contenders each and every year is what it's all about, as opposed to maybe just the usual three or four teams.
Which could be a lot of fun, and then you take away Alabama playing Mercer, and you take away Georgia playing Chattanooga, and you'd make Georgia play Ohio State from the Big Ten Pac-12 Super League, or you would make somebody out of the Big 12, like a Texas Tech, have to play a step up in SEC competition. You would need some of that to happen, and maybe it makes for a couple of more interesting non-conference games. Shall we talk a little non-con, Lisi? With some betting lines available for the first couple weeks of the college football campaign, because one of the highlights on that opening weekend, September 3rd, Ohio State in Notre Dame, a 13.5 point spread in favor of the Buckeyes. Nearly two touchdowns, Lisi. That's a big number for the Bucks.
Yeah, it's a huge number. We saw Marcus Freeman in his first game have the big lead against Oklahoma State, couldn't make the halftime adjustments, and Oak State does pull out that victory. This is a different animal with C.J. Stroud and those wide receivers, Travion Henderson, and that offense are lethal. We know that Ohio State most likely is going to put up about 30 in that ballgame. Can Notre Dame answer? No Kyron Williams. Defensive side of the ball takes a hit with Kyle Hamilton and the crew. And who's the quarterback for Notre Dame this year? That's the biggest thing. At least Jack Cohn in the early part of the year brought stability. This is Marcus Freeman's biggest year. If you want to back, right, Notre Dame in terms of 80-1 to win the college football playoff, you need them to step up and win this game. Roll the dice. I don't think they do it. I would lean to Ohio State early on, but it's too early right now. You never know. I might pull the trigger on the Irish come the month of September.
Yeah, it is a little bit too early right now to be interested. interesting to see, Joe, if that line works past two touchdowns. And then we can have our conversations again in the college football landscape of the key numbers. 3, 7, and maybe even 14 at that double-digit touchdown margin. All right, Lisa, we come back and end the show on the other side of the break. A couple of more marquee games from that opening weekend up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let me tell you, the guys are fired up here on Football Full Circle to end out our Wednesday show live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. The guys, myself, Ben Stevens, and across from me, Joseph Lisi. Go for the two, and we're going to go for some early money in next college football season, 2022. Lines up right now, Joe, on FanDuel for the opening weekend, the first couple of weekends of non-conference play, the marquee matchup. Even later on into the conference slate. Give me a couple that stand out to you right now that you think we want to jump in on even in early May.
How about October 22nd, Iowa on the road against Ohio State? We've seen Ohio State stumble to Iowa in recent years, right? Even when Urban Meyer was there. You're going to tell me C.J. Stroud and the crew lay in 21? I understand it's Iowa, but I'll take the three touchdowns right now, Ben. Right now with Iowa, plus the 21 on the road October 22nd. And then I'll tell you this right now. Texas laying one to Oak State the same weekend. I love Oklahoma State. I have no confidence in Sarkisian by then. That game in terms of the Red River rivalry might have already happened. They're favorites again against Oklahoma. I'll take Oak State in that matchup in Stillwater.
You can't see me right now, Lisi, because this is a radio show, but my guns are up, pokes up big time there, baby. All right, a couple of the marquee ones that stand out to me. We talked about Ohio State, a 13.5 point favorite that opening weekend against Notre Dame. Georgia, a 16.5 point favorite against their former defensive coordinator, the new head coach in Dan Lanning in Oregon. That's a big number. LSU laying 4.5 against the Seminoles of Florida State. But let me scroll down the page a little bit. The third weekend of the year, September 17th, Lisi, Michigan State is only laying one against Washington. A pick'em for the Spartans, Lisi. I'm betting it right now.
Mel Tucker stepped up. I mean, that team is in disarray for the Huskies, so laying one is cheap. Cheap.
It's a pick'em. We're doing it all week long here on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside is next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.